We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to the Champagne on Ice podcast presented by the Field of 68. Illinois is headed to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2005. It has finally happened. The Illini blow out Duquesne 89-63 and are headed to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, where a heck of a matchup against two-seeded Iowa State awaits in Boston on Thursday night. And we will talk all about it right here. I am Kyle Tosk, joined as always by Mike Farmer. Mike, doesn't the air just smell a little sweeter this morning after Illinois finally gets to the second weekend of the tournament? We finally have some March success for this program. Despite all the winning that's happened, we get a Sweet 16 matchup to preview.
It's so exciting. You're right. Everything just does feel better today. And I just, like, immediately after the game ended last night, I was like, how on earth did this team go 19 years? Like, I know the path this year was kind of easy, if we're just being honest, relatively speaking. But man, how did it take 19 years? Like, that is my entire lifetime to date. And I don't know, it does just feel so good though. So I'm super happy to be here talking about it. Thanks to everybody that's followed along this entire season. We're not done yet, but man, it's been a great season and a great start to the tournament so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the Brad Underwood era, to have it not have happened yet. You hear all the criticism everywhere, and it just feels good too, because Brad Underwood has done such an unbelievable job turning this program around. And the one blemish was that he couldn't get out of the first weekend of the tournament. And some of that was his fault, like losing to Loyola. That was obviously a tough one, but some of it was just luck of the draw. Some of it was just the flukiness of March. And this year, Illinois actually catches a break. Like you said, you play Morehead State, you play Duquesne. It shouldn't be a surprise that Illinois won those two games, but that's really what this tournament's all about. So it just feels so good to finally catch one of those breaks and take advantage of it. And now, obviously, the competition is going to stiffen up next week, and that's what you play this for. You can't wait for that. So we'll preview Iowa State coming up here in a little bit, but let's talk about the game from Saturday night against Duquesne. It was a completely stress-free game from the opening tip. Illinois imposed their will, dominated. We talked about it on the preview. This could get ugly if Illinois actually came out fast for once and started the game really aggressive and dominated the start. And that's exactly what they did. Got off to a 32-11 start in the first half, ended up winning by 26, 89-63. What was most impressive about that one? Because it just felt like Illinois was a different caliber of team out there on the floor, which they were. And it showed from the pretty much the opening minute of the game.
I mean, no question, they're a different caliber of team, size-wise, talent-wise, just everything-wise, like guys coming out of high school, way better recruits, all of that, better transfers. But I think just the energy from opening tip, like that game was just never in doubt. And there were some reasons for that. Like Illinois did start hot. Duquesne couldn't hit a shot at the start for the most part. But just the energy, like energy in the arena, energy off the bench for guys coming in. Terrence Shannon started hot. Damask started hot. Coleman was hitting threes. And all of a sudden, you're up 24-9, I believe, with 12 minutes to go in the first half. So it's like, is Duquesne going to come back from this? Probably not. And I don't know. I would just, like, from the opening tip, not to be rude to the white freshman on Duquesne, but they put him on Terrence Shannon. I was like, If that, not to be rude, but if that's your strategy for this game, this is going to be a 30-point blowout, and that's what it ended up being. I'm sure he's a good defender, but like something about that was just off from the get-go. And yeah, Illinois took advantage. Awesome game. Overall, they need that intensity for Iowa State and for any future games. They need that for any postseason game in the future of the Brad Underwood era. Like I was telling my friend who hasn't been an Illinois fan forever, he's just been a fan this year since we got to college. Like after the five, it was 5-2 within like 2 minutes. And I said, that's the best tournament start. That's the best postseason start of the Brad Underwood Illinois era. And it's like, just do something like that, like every game, every other game. Like some of the starts have been so bad, but I'm not here to complain. We're headed to the Sweet 16. It feels so good. Illinois with a much deserved win over Duquesne.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that too, because it feels like every tournament game, you think back to all of them, even Drexel, the 16 seed
Drexel
and
hung
they're a one
around,
seed.
man.
Drexel was in the game for like 15 minutes. Obviously, Chattanooga was as bad a start as you could draw up. Loyola was a sluggish start and never recovered. And Houston was a rough start a couple years ago. And Morehead State 9-0 in the first minute and a half. It was nice finally for Illinois to be the team that took that early double-digit lead, and the other team was playing from behind. And like we talked about on Friday, Duquesne was not going to have much success. If they got behind in a hole early, they just don't have the firepower and the talent to come back from that. And that's what we saw. I mean, once Illinois got off to that quick start, it was over with. Illinois just kept extending the lead and keeping them far away. And that's was the blueprint of a nice, stress-free, easy trip to the Sweet 16. Illinois takes advantage of the break in the draw, because this is absolutely a team that Illinois should handle the way they did. But it would, like you said, I thought it was great just to see the energy from the opening tip, and the fact that you could tell these guys really took this game seriously and realized what it meant for the program to get this win. So that was great. But yeah, obviously Terrence Shannon, just another your average Terrence Shannon 30 piece again. Like that's just a consistent basis. So you look up, he's got 30 points. He was absolutely fantastic. Totally with you. I was amazed at the guy that they put on Shannon to start the game. What's his name? Jake DeMichael. Is that what
I
I
don't even
can't
know.
really pronounce the guy's name, but yeah, he had no chance there, and really the guy that they put on Marcus Damask had no chance early. Damask was pretty aggressive, and they tried to put some size on him. Like they didn't. I thought they were going to put Jimmy Clark, their best defender, on him, but he's 6'3", and they elected to go with their 6'7" wing on Damask, and probably would have been better off going with Clark and trying to bother him with some pressure and try to poke a couple turnovers away, because Damask had his way with Drame, who they had on him. And I think they had Day-Day Grant on Coleman Hawkins, and Coleman Hawkins attacked him a couple times, hit a couple shots. Everyone just came out with so much energy, and this Illinois team really imposed their will early, and it was outstanding to see. Marcus Damask finishes with 22.7 assists. Those assist numbers for him have just been consistently in the 7, 8, 9, 10 range here recently. Teams have really tried to throw multiple bodies at him, and he's done such an unbelievable job facilitating and running offense. And Coleman Hawkins, to have those two threes that really were that first punch officially thrown that forced Duquesne to call a timeout early, that was huge, because he really, for as much as I think he's been good defensively during this stretch and has done some, little things, non-box score type things, he hasn't been as aggressive offensively as we've seen in the past and as we've seen during much of the season. And last night, it felt like finally he was taking some shots with confidence and getting a little more involved, which we'll get to in a little bit. I think is going to be extremely important against Iowa State. But just a team effort and a really great performance overall by the Illini last night.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
For sure. Back to your point about Damask, they had 6'7", 6'8", Drame on him. He's got the size advantage. He did not have the physicality advantage, which is like one of my actual main points from, I think, the first half of last night's game. Like, that just showed me how physical, how strong Marcus Damask was for being 6'5", maybe 6'6". Like, he can take whoever he needs to take into the paint. He can back them down, and he's going to get an assist at this point, or he's going to score still, draw a foul, whatever it is. But just Damask in general. Against Mizzou in December, 7 assists. Against FDU with the first game when Terrence Shannon missed, he had 11 assists, actually. Since then and before then, never had 7 assists. But last 4 games, 8 assists, 8 assists, 10 assists, 7 assists. Like, where did that even come from? Obviously, guys are keying in on him more as a like lead scorer. Terrence Shannon has been unbelievable. But Damask has been the Robin to Shannon's Batman. Like, he's just been dominant offensively, scoring-wise. But the thing that's really made this offense go, among other things, Damask's passing ability. Like, he drops the triple-double against Morehead State. Just amazing. But he's finding open guys. Like, there's some guys, like, Coleman makes an assist, and I'll notice it, like, wow, amazing pass from Coleman. Damask just, like, he's so under the radar. He finds guys, like, in stride. He gets it right in the shooting pocket. And it just creates so many open looks for guys when he's backing bigger guys, stronger guys down. It's just, it's really making this offense click. But some other things I wanted to talk about was, like, this offense needs to be firing on all cylinders against Iowa State. And they kind of did that last night. Luke Goody missed some shots. Some other guys were all right. But, like, Dane continues to be really good. Coleman was finding his shot. Damask elite, Terrence elite. Ty Rogers had a couple nice plays, I think. Quincy Guerrier was hitting the glass a little bit, was physical. Even Justin Harmon defensively, like, I think defense leads to offense in certain cases. He was showing so much energy and intensity off the bench when he came in, fighting over screens, getting rebounds, like, looking for guys in transition. He didn't find the offense yesterday, but stuff like that is so encouraging for a team that's full of senior leaders. Like, that is exactly what you need from a guy like Justin Harmon, who hasn't been able to score recently. Just seeing that energy was so encouraging. But yeah, just awesome game, awesome weekend. Like, it feels so good to see this team just progress to Thursday in the tournament. You and I have literally never seen that since we were 1 year old babies. But, like, I don't know, I feel so happy for the fan base. I feel so happy for Brad Underwood and the guys like Coleman, who's been here 4 years. He's won the Big Ten titles, the Big Ten tournament titles, but, like, winning in March is such a different feeling. So I'm so proud of him, so happy for him.
Yeah, there's a reason that everything gets picked apart so closely in the NCAA tournament, and why coaches' resumes and programs are judged based on March success and NCAA tournament success. Even though it's kind of a flawed way to look at things, there's a reason that it's so prevalent. It's because it's what everyone's focused on. It's what everyone's watching. It's the, you know, it's your postseason for the sport. And By no means, as much as some people will tell you it did, by no means did Illinois' lack of Sweet 16s make it an unhealthy program or a program that wasn't going anywhere, a program that had no success. It does feel just a little bit different to finally get that breakthrough for everybody involved. And yeah, I totally agree with you. But just hitting on your point real quick, I did think Illinois was fantastic defensively last night. Now, I know Duquesne is a team that's not going to bring a whole lot of offensive firepower and a team that's it's like 158th in offensive efficiency. But I thought like Day-Day Grant is a really good guard. He's had some games where he's gotten close to 30 points this year. He had 7 points on 2 for 9. And that was a direct result of Ty Rogers, Terrence Shannon, and Justin Harmon. All three of them got cracks at him, and none of the three allowed him to get any type of clean look. I mean, these guys on Illinois were fighting over screens, were sticking right alongside him. He couldn't get anything up clean. And just overall, I thought Illinois was really good defensively. And like you said, that defense led to some easy transition opportunities early. And that's just such a key for this Illinois offense to reach its ultimate ceiling. It needs to come with some defensive stops because we know how lethal this team is in transition. When Terrence Shannon gets out and runs and gets out in transition, that's how this offense becomes, goes from a great offense to maybe the best offense in the entire sport, is when you're mixing in some stops and some turnovers and some missed shots, and you can get out and run and push the pace off those. And that's what happened in the first half, is Illinois was getting consistent stops. Duquesne had like 13 points 13 minutes into the game, and a lot of their misses led immediately to Illinois getting out running, Terrence Shannon getting out in the open floor. And that's such a key for this team. And you're going to, I mean, yeah, this Duquesne team isn't great offensively, but you know what? The next team you're going to see has had their offensive struggles as well. So these teams that are lacking offensively a little bit, it's still on you to get the stops and to force their offense into looking the way it has for most of the season. But I thought there were some encouraging signs defensively. Like you said, I thought Harmon had maybe his best minutes he's given in like 3 weeks. He was a guy that I was going to be ready to bring up on this podcast and say, does he really need any minutes going forward next weekend? But if he's going to defend like that, I think he gives you some valuable ones. And Rogers and Shannon were great. I thought Hawkins was outstanding around the rim defensively. Guerrier's minutes in general were as good as I've seen in a little while from him. He had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 4 offensive rebounds, and I thought he played really well defensively. So it's this team's just clicking at the right time. It feels like this team is playing some of its best, most complete basketball at the absolute perfect time, and that's exactly how you want to feel heading into a second weekend where you're going to have a chance to maybe make a Final Four, or at least give yourself a chance to actually take that even bigger step forward.
For sure. It's going to take guys like Harmon, guys like Danger are going to have great minutes against this Iowa State team, who, if we want to transition to talking about them a
Is
little
Dane
bit,
Danger,
because
for real quick first, is Dane Danger going to miss a shot the rest of the tournament? Some people are asking. He's
I
13 for
really hope not.
13 from the floor in the tournament. How about his resurgence, man? He was out of the rotation for a lot of the season. And in the NCAA tournament and the Big Ten tournament, he's just come out of nowhere and been outstanding. And he's going to be absolutely massive next weekend as well. I just want to mention him real quick too, because 8 points, 5 rebounds, 4 for 4 in 13 minutes last night. Guy is on one right now.
He is. He's on a tear. And like, even his season stats, he's still only averaging 10 minutes a game for the entire season. So just having that mentality, like, I'm going to come in and just do whatever needs to be done. And he's really done it the past couple games at least. So, and yeah, he's going to be crucial. Like, Iowa State doesn't really have a traditional rim protector. They've got some bigs that can hang with Dane, like size wise. And they are a great defense overall, of course. But he's going to be crucial on Thursday night for sure.
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 all through the NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game, and you get up to $1,500 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD when you sign up. Most importantly, we do have some fun stuff coming for the conference tournaments and especially for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and what I love the most, a nice parlay boost for anything you could possibly imagine betting on in the NCAA tournament, from odds and getting an at-large bid to Final Four futures to the highest seed to make to the Sweet 16. I'm calling it right now. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet for your March Madness needs. So go download the BetMGM app, use the code FIELD, and sign up today. And while I've got you, a quick request, the best way to support the Field of 68 and our content you get for free is to engage with us. Rate and review the pod, like and share the YouTube videos, tell your friends about us. It helps in a world where the algorithm is king. And now, back to the show.
So do you want to transition to talking about Iowa State a little bit?
Let's do it.
So, yeah, I mean, you look at Iowa State and you see the defense, of course, like they don't play super fast. Like, it's just a tale of two teams, Illinois, Iowa State. Illinois dominant offense, probably best in the country at this point, at least over the past few months. And then Iowa State on the flip side, still a good offense for sure. Not elite like Illinois is, but the defense is damn good. Like, number two in the country, maybe number one, debatably. Illinois forces teams to play the way they want to offensively, kind of shootout game. Illinois wants to get in transition and really force the issue. Iowa State doesn't play like extremely slow like Houston does or another team. Like, they're not bottom 10 in the country in pace or tempo, whatever you want to look at. But they play to their pace. Like, they don't play extremely slow, but they're around average nationally. They will force you to do what they want you to do, which is kind of chuck up threes, get out of your offensive rhythm. They don't want you to get to the hoop. Illinois is so different in that aspect. Like, Illinois does not want to give up threes. They'll let you get to the hoop. We don't have great rim protectors. Like, Dane and Coleman aren't blocking a million shots a game. But Illinois will kind of let you get to the rim. Iowa State, completely different. They do not want to let you get in the paint. If you do get in the paint, it's like they're still going to find a way to force a steal, force a block, or like just heavily contest your shot. So it's going to be such a tough battle for Illinois and Iowa State. But, I mean, this matchup is so exciting. It's like a movable force versus unstoppable object, or whatever you want to call it. I think we said that last week or a couple of days ago. So I don't know. I'll let you talk here, but it's going to be so exciting. I cannot wait for this game.
Yeah, it has the potential to be one of the matchups of the tournament for sure, because it's not often that you get maybe the best offense in the sport going head-to-head with maybe the best defense in the sport, and just two totally contrasting styles and two teams that it feels like one team's strength is the other team's strength, and it's like just strength on strength on strength on strength. Which strength is going to win in this battle? And I think it's absolutely fascinating. Illinois currently, as we record this morning, now UConn does play later today, who sits 0.1 behind Illinois, but Illinois has the most efficient offense in college basketball. Iowa State, the second most efficient defense in college basketball. Like you said, Iowa State, they allow the lowest percentage of shots at the rim of any team in the country. Guess what Illinois wants to do? Score at the rim. That's going to be fascinating to see. But I think that this sets up, honestly, it sets up better than some other matchups, I think, because I think when you look at, you know, you're going to have to beat a really, really good team. Starting this weekend, whoever you're going to play, unless you luck out and, you know, James Madison or whatever, and those teams are good too, but Illinois kind of got their break in the bracket by getting Duquesne in the round of 32. Well, now you're going to get really, really good teams. You're going to have to earn it if you want to advance any further. But I think in terms of just kind of some of the better teams in the sport, I think this sets up better than it would in some other matchups for Illinois, because I feel like the ideal matchup is like, yeah, if your strength is you want to hold us to 60 points and you want to win with defense and in a slower game and in a lower possession, ugly game, Illinois, the way they're playing right now, that's going to be really, really hard for Iowa State to do. Now, of any team in the country, they might be most equipped to actually slow this Illinois offense down, but I think this matchup sets up better for Illinois than a team that could outscore them in the 90s or could just play Illinois' pace and be better at it than them. An example of that would be UConn, who Illinois could meet if they do beat Iowa State. Like, that's a team that they can score punch for punch with Illinois. So Iowa State team, if they can't get stops and if this Illinois offense is able to break down this Iowa State defense and solve it and score, Iowa State's not winning a track meet. Iowa State is not going to be outscoring Illinois winning this game 89-87. That's just not how it's going to play out if it does go that route. Now, of course, if it gets to Iowa State style, they're going to have a big advantage. But I am cautiously optimistic about this matchup for Illinois because the way that Illinois' offense is playing right now and the way that I think, even though a lot of Iowa State's defensive strengths do align with kind of what Illinois wants to do, and on paper you could see a situation where Iowa State frustrates this offense and forces them into doing some things that they're not comfortable doing, I think where Iowa State's defense has its most success is when teams come in with these elaborate sets and Iowa State just completely takes you out of your offense and takes you out of what you want to do and forces one-on-one matchups and forces late shot clock threes. Well, Illinois wants those one-on-ones, and Illinois wants to kind of make it ugly and have, you know, if a play breaks down and it's Marcus Damask one-on-one with his defender, Illinois will live with that, whereas some other teams would really, you know, go into some prolonged droughts and really not know what to do with themselves. So I don't know, looking at this one, and we can talk a little more about it, but I think Illinois has a chance here. I think I feel better about this matchup than I would some of the other two seeds that Illinois could see because the way Illinois' offense has clicked here and the fact that Illinois is most likely going to have the two most dynamic offensive players on the floor in this game, I think ultimately that can win. And I think Illinois can have success. If anyone is going to solve this Iowa State defense and break past it, I think Illinois in its current form is probably one of the top teams that you would circle to be able to do that.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm biased, of course. You're slightly biased as well, but I think we really don't match up that well, but I think we have a good chance. Like, you're right about your point.
Neither team matches up well with the other. That's the thing. It's just who's going to come to play, whose strength is going to be better.
That's what makes it so intriguing. Like, Iowa State wants to play in the 60s. Like, I've been looking at their just schedule head-to-head results. They haven't scored 80 or they scored 80 points in the first round against South Dakota State. Besides that, they scored 80 points once since like mid-December when they were playing bye games at home against 300 KenPom teams. So, and Illinois has pretty much, they're averaging like 90 points a game since this or January. Like, it's two such different teams. And I really have like no concept of how this game is going to play out, but I do think Illinois has a good chance. Like, Iowa State hasn't won a track meet game because they just haven't played in any. That's how their defense has been all season. Like, they've been so dominant. They force teams like Houston, Kansas, Texas Tech, these pretty good offenses. They force them to just play at their pace. But they're running into the best offense they've played all season in Illinois, and they're clicking at the right time, as we've talked about already. Guys are hitting shots. Damask is just elite offensively, passing and scoring. Shannon is unstoppable. Like, Iowa State – one thing I'm optimistic about is Iowa State not having the greatest offense. Like, they're still top 50 in KenPom. That's good by any stretch of the imagination, but not elite. Like, they are prone to miss shots. Individually, they're not – or as a team, sorry, they're not a great shooting team. They still shoot, like, around 35% from three, but they're not hitting a million threes a game. Like, they don't score that
much. They
don't
take a lot of them, too.
Exactly, yeah. There are some individual guys like Milan Mamchitovic, the freshman from Wisconsin, I'm actually kind of scared about offensively because he's a stretch four that I think could exploit maybe Quincy or Coleman if Coleman's on him for some reason. But I don't know. Back to my point, like, it is so – this is going to be so much fun. It's so intriguing. Team that wants to play in the 60s versus team that wants to play in the 90s, both at the peak of their powers, both just won their conference tournament, star players on both sides. Like, Taman Lipsey's a really solid guard. I think he has stats similar to Braden Smith on Purdue, and that's without Zach Edey, not to take away from Braden Smith because I think he's a great player. But Edey actually plays pretty similar to Braden Smith's or to Taman Lipsey statistic-wise. So you're running into a really good point guard, a really good coach who I think should be a National Coach of the Year consideration like every year based on what he's done. This team was like 2-20 a couple years back, and now they're in their second Sweet 16 in 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. Two teams, like two programs that have had pretty good success overall. I don't know, just two good coaches, star players on both sides. It's going to be so much fun.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I said it in a chat we were in like a week ago. I think TJ Otzelberger is the most underrated coach in the country, because you look at, he took over a program 3 years ago that was 2-20. During that COVID year, I think, or they might have even been 2-22. They didn't win a conference game. They were 0-18 in the Big 12. He took them over the next year. He had them in the Sweet 16 as an 11 seed. They beat Wisconsin, the Johnny Davis Wisconsin team, and got to the Sweet 16. And now 3 years into his tenure, he's got a 2 seed in the tournament, the best defense in college basketball, and is a Final Four contender who just won the Big 12 championship by 30 over Houston. Like, that is as impressive of a coaching job as I've seen in the country.
In the Big 12, too.
In the Big 12, absolutely. The toughest conference, in my opinion, since he's gotten there. I totally have a ton of respect for him. I think it's going to be a fascinating coaching battle, too, because you've got such a great defensive mind in Otzelberger versus a guy in Underwood who has just built an unstoppable force on offense and has found ways to just find mismatches and exploit your weaknesses defensively. I think it's going to be just such a fun battle. Everything about this game is going to be so fun. Probably it'd be more fun if we weren't a fan of either of these two teams and could just enjoy this thing. Instead, we're going to be biting our fingernails and stressing out about it all week. But and nevertheless, just as a basketball fan, it's going to be a phenomenal matchup. But yeah, you mentioned a couple of the names just to hit on Iowa State. I feel like they kind of have an offensive trio to worry about when you look at Keyshawn Gilbert, who's their leading scorer at 14 points a game, more of a wing type, a 6'4". He'll shoot it a little bit, but he really wants to drive. He's probably their best athlete and somebody who's really going to want to get to the rim and attack guys off the bounce. And then you look at Taman Lipsey, their point guard, like you mentioned. I think he's really underrated point guard nationally, a guy who makes that offense go, a guy who also on the defensive end, top five in the country in steals with 2.7 a game. And then, like you mentioned, the freshman from Wisconsin, Milan Momcilovic, 11 points a game, a guy who's had some big games where he's exploded. He can really shoot it. He can really score at all three levels. And he's a guy that at 6'8", 220, Illinois is going to have to find the right matchup for him. Is that going to be Terrence Shannon? Is that going to be Quincy Guerrier? Who are you putting on him? Because I think if you put the wrong matchup on him, or if you allow switches and allow him to get favorable matchups, he's going to do some of the Illinois formula and just beat that guy one-on-one. He's proven he can do that. So those are some of the guys Illinois is going to have to keep track of on offense. And then I think, to me, one of the biggest things to watch in this game and one of the biggest things I think Illinois can exploit is Iowa State's front court. While it's a good front court at what Iowa State wants to do in terms of just turn you over and be physical and kind of beat you up, I think their front court fits exactly what they want to do. When you look at Robert Jones, who's their starting center at 6'10", and a guy who will just pound you and is going to play extremely physical, and then you rotate in Hassan Ward, their backup center as well. But those guys don't really play well out on the perimeter. And I think Coleman Hawkins is a fascinating matchup for either of those guys. And I think Coleman Hawkins on offense for Illinois is going to be a massive key for Illinois having success on this Iowa State defense, because we saw what happened when Coleman got hot there in the first half against Duquesne. I think Coleman is going to get a lot of open looks from three in this game. And Iowa State, as a defense, gives up threes at a top 10 rate in the country. That's really what they want to force you to. They want to force you into late shot clock threes and to not get into the paint and to not get to the rim. And they will live and die with allowing you to shoot. And I think Coleman Hawkins in particular against two bigs who are going to have to go guard out on the perimeter, especially if Ty Rogers isn't in the game and they can't hide him on Ty. Coleman Hawkins is going to have some open looks from three, and that might be the difference in the game. If Coleman Hawkins can come out and make 3-4 threes and assert himself on offense like he did against Duquesne, that might be the formula to breaking this Iowa State defense to me. I'm fascinated by that matchup because that's the one where I think you look across the floor and, you know, Iowa State's got some weapons and got some guys who have really been good, but in the front court, Illinois is going to have an advantage talent-wise and a mismatch on offense to me with Coleman going up against those kind of bruising big men who want to play in the paint and want to, you know, obviously play down on the low block. And Coleman Hawkins, I think, could be a mismatch for those guys. So I think that might be my matchup key to this one and one that I think you should watch because that could be the difference in this one is if Coleman Hawkins can really give you an offensive spark.
Yeah, I like that point a lot. And if he does that, if he's first half in the first 4 minutes, he drains a three, that brings Jones out to the perimeter. And, I mean, Illinois can say this about any team they play for the most part the entire season. They have a size advantage. They have a physicality advantage. Like, Taman Lipsey, really good player. I think he's 6 foot, maybe 6 foot one. I think Keyshawn Gilbert's 6'4", maybe. Just tiny differences, I guess, but, like, if Coleman can stretch the floor a little bit, hit a three, that lets Quincy Guerrier, Ty Rogers, even Shannon and Damask maybe hit the offensive glass, which Iowa State, that kind of comes with their good defense. They don't give up a ton of offensive rebounds. But, like, if Coleman stretches the floor and guys can really get in the paint, like, Damask can even take his matchup if Robert Jones is out of the paint. Like, that could really open up the floor as a whole. But one last thing I wanted to hit on is, just defensive wise, it kind of comes with having a good defense. Like, Iowa State forces a million turnovers. They have 10 steals a game. Taman Lipsey almost averages three a game. But Damask, Shannon, Rogers, even guys off the bench possibly, really got to be secure with the ball. Like, ball security, we can't really have Iowa State getting runouts based on, or off of steals. Can't have bad, like, cross-court passes or anything. So that's just one quick point. Obviously, the guys will be keyed in on that all week, I'm sure. But this team can be dangerous when they're forcing steals, getting turnovers, stuff like that. And they can really force teams to play at their pace when that happens. So I've said this a million times already, but such an intriguing matchup. I can't wait for it. Is it going to be a game in the 90s? I don't know. Is it going to be in the 60s? We'll see. I doubt it. I would guess somewhere in the middle. But I think I'm so biased, but I just really want Illinois to win. But like you said, I think there are some advantages that Illinois has. Obviously, Iowa State has advantages of their own. But I don't know. I think playing in Boston is going to be awesome. I think Illinois pulls this one out somehow and has a matchup with UConn in the Elite Eight, which is so awesome to say.
Yeah, it really is. And, yeah, Iowa State's going to want to make this game in the 60s, but maybe one of their players in the pregame, like, press conference and the pregame media availability should not say that because Duquesne had a guard who on Friday said, you know, if we can stop Illinois and keep them in the low 60s, you know, which is what we want to do, I think we'll have a good chance. And then that permeated back to the Illinois locker room, and Coleman Hawkins was like, well, good luck with that, man. Illinois had 70 with 12 minutes to go against Duquesne. So, I think the matchup sets up how you would want it for Illinois in saying, hey, to get to an Elite Eight, your offense has to be better than another team's defense, and your offense has to be the best unit on the floor. And I think that the way Illinois is playing right now, they're going to have a chance to have that win out. And I do think that a lot of times in this tournament, elite offense beats elite defense. And I go back to last year, that Sweet 16 matchup, very similar, Miami and Houston, best defense in the country, Miami an offense that was playing as well as you could possibly play with some NBA guys and some really good isolation individual offensive players with Isaiah Wong and Jordan Miller and Nigel Pack. And Miami put up 89 points, beat Houston 89-75 to move on to the Elite Eight, ultimately go to the Final Four. Now, it doesn't always play out that way, but that's one that I turn back to and say that's kind of the blueprint is, yeah, Houston was nationally elite on the defensive end. They had no answers because, you know, Miami was in such a rhythm offensively and they got the matchups they wanted and their offense and their shot makers made shots and won. And that's what Illinois is going to need to do if they want to go move on to the Elite Eight. But I am in agreement with you. If I have to give an official prediction here as of Sunday, March 24th, we record this, I think Illinois is going to win this game. I think Illinois is going to play in the Elite Eight. And I think Illinois' offense right now, the way it's playing and the firepower that they have and the zone that Terrence Shannon is in is going to be enough to get to 70-something points on this Iowa State team and knock them off in what should be a classic of an NCAA tournament game. But we will be back on Thursday night. On Friday, we'll release it to break it all down and hopefully be previewing an Elite Eight matchup, whether that's versus UConn or somebody else. But this is going to be just an awesome game, a matchup that Illinois fans have been waiting for 19 years to talk about a Sweet 16 game with an Elite Eight appearance on the line. I cannot wait for it. Any final thoughts?
Not really, but I just think obviously we know why we've mentioned that Miami game, because Illinois has an offense like that, and that's what we want to see, like our offense just go on a crazy run in March. But I think it's funny, we've mentioned that game probably minimum 5 times on this podcast, like just because, and I don't know, it's funny, it's played out that way. Our offense clicking at the right time and running into an Iowa State team, kind of like that Houston team from last year. I don't know, like you, it kind of gives me some hope for this game on Thursday.
Yeah, it feels like there's so many parallels between that team last year and this Illinois team. And they were kind of an outlier in terms of they just rode an offensive wave to get to the Final Four. And that's not usually how you want to profile. But you know what? That's what we do, is we try to, you know, give ourselves hope that way. And I think that is their blueprint last year is kind of the blueprint this Illinois team needs to take. If they not, obviously, if you want to beat Iowa State, but also if you want to beat a team like UConn as well, your offense has to be the best unit on the court, and you have to ride that as far as it'll take you. But this should be fun. Let's get back here Thursday night and record an Elite Eight preview. That would be absolutely unbelievable. But 40 minutes to go, Thursday night, Boston, Illinois, Iowa State. Should be an unbelievable game. We will be back here on this podcast to break it all down afterwards. For now, be sure to drop a follow on our Twitter at Champagne on Ice. Subscribe to the Field of 68 Podcast Network YouTube channel. Find us on your podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere else. We will be there, and we will see you late next week to talk some Sweet 16 Illinois basketball. That sentence is one that I haven't The last time that I could theoretically have said that sentence, I couldn't talk yet. That's how young I was. So that goes to show you how long it's been. But enjoy the week, everybody. Enjoy the game on Thursday night. And we'll see you next time right here on Champagne on Ice.